everyone, thanks for listening to RTÉ Radio 1's The Rolling Wave podcast with me, Aoife Carmick. In this episode, I'm talking to Tom Mulligan, owner of one of the most famous music pubs in Dublin, the Cobblestone Bar in Smithfield. Music there from Nollaig McCaughey and Ger Galvin, and they were playing O'Farrell's Welcome to Limerick and Rinke Philip Ahiol, and that's from a new CD called The Thursday Sessions at the Cobblestone Pub, and the CD features music from many of the musicians who take part in the sessions in the Cobblestone on Thursday night. It's a long list. It includes Ronan Galvin, Jackie Martin, Nollaig McCaughey, you just heard there, Paul O'Shaughnessy, Anthony O'Farrell, Sinead Kennedy, and loads, loads more. Tom Mulligan, this is a snapshot of Thursday night in your pub, but you have sessions in the Cobblestone every night, and sometimes you have two and three sessions a day, so you actually could make 10 CDs, couldn't you?
Well, we decided after the first CD, which was called The Cobblestone Sessions, which Nollaig McCaughey and Ger Galvin are on as well, which was made in 2002, that we couldn't include all the musicians in one CD anymore. So we decided we'd take Thursday and afterwards then there's another 6 days in the week, so we might just keep going.
The Cobblestone up in Smithfield is one of the main venues, of course, for traditional music in Dublin, a much loved venue. How long have you and the pub been in Smithfield?
I arrived there maybe 30 odd years ago, and it was a market pub at the time. We opened up at 7 in the morning. It was television, it was pool tables, it was dart boards, and we had something like 12 dart teams at the time, and 7 or 8 pool teams, and television, of course. Yeah.
Was it a pub before you got it?
Yes, it was always a pub. It's a pub there since about the 1600s. The building that it's in at the moment is there since about 1850, and but the license is there since like Smithfield was founded. But I got it from a guy called Jerry Power, who was a leash man, and he just was fed up with it, you know, at that stage, and he went on to bigger and better. I think he's living out foreign now. But we saw all the development happening. Every place was like Smithfield was fairly derelict, you know, at the time, and we saw development coming along. So we decided, like, this is the opportunity. And I came across a fellow who works for RTÉ now, Peter Woods, and like he kind of helped me guide the vision, you know, into a traditional music. So we got rid of the television, we got rid of the pool tables and the dartboards, and we decided to go down that road. The first night that there was music there, they had Larry Kinsella from Wexford on the concertina, there was Vincent Harrison from Leitrim on the fiddle, Sean O'Brien on the flute, and Neely on the pipes. Now, my brother Neely on the pipe, and there was a row down the back, you know, and the it wasn't a great start, but anyway, we got the fisticuffs finished and out the door, but it just went up after that. It just went great.
But Smithfield, I mean, 30 years ago, there was no Lewis, there was no Plaza, there was no cinema, there was no hotel.
True.
It was a completely different landscape. Was it hard to get people to go up to you?
It was. I mean, like, if you look at the people that came, like, we had an awful lot of refusals, for starters. You know, not going up there. Which is understandable. So we decided we would go for the younger musicians, you know, and they came willingly, because I think at the time most of the older musicians were established in various places and they didn't need it, you know. So the younger ones came in, and they did like Joe Nocton and Steve Larkin, fiddle player from Wexford, and Mick Kinsella. There was Nollaig McCaughey, as you played him there before, you know, and it was just lovely, 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 lovely crew, you know. Mick O'Grady is there since we opened, you know. Donnacha Dwyer, Malachy Burke, lovely lads playing together, you know, and they were all enthusiastic for it, you know. And it was great, fresh, you know.
You mentioned Vincent Harrison there, and maybe it'd be worth taking a tune from him now. He's on the first CD that you put out, the Cobblestone Sessions. Tell me a bit about Vincent before we hear this track.
Vincent was from Drumahair in County Leitrim, and he emigrated to America. One day, his mind was made up. It was rain, and there was nothing going on in the village he was from, and he was bringing the cattle home, and he says, "I'm getting out of here," and he put his bag on his back, and off he went to America, and he ended up working for the telephone company, which was Ma Bell, and he was very successful there in his job, and then he turned into an amazing fiddle player, as you will see from this track here. And he came back here in 1989, and he bought a house out there in the seafront in Dollymount, and he played in our place every Wednesday night, you know, and his music was just lovely, you know. And as I say, he was one of the first musicians to play there too, in the pub, with Neely Mulligan and Sean O'Brien and Larry Kinsley, you know. It was lovely, yeah. So it's a lovely hornpipe he's playing, I think, on that one.
Vincent Harrison on fiddle there with Tom Hills and Ollie's Delight. Tom Mulligan, while that track was playing, you were telling me about the fiddle he played there. There's an amazing story connected to how he got his fiddle.
Yeah, well, he did work for the telephone company, and his job was...
This is in America, in New York,
and he used to install phones for people. You know, you'd ring up and they'd be out there and then. But this day he was putting a phone into a house, and he had to go along the skirting board, and when the skirting board came, there was a press in his way. It was a walk-in press, so he opened that and he had to run the wire around the back of the press and bring it back out again. And when he was clearing away all the stuff in the press, he found a fiddle in a case, you know, and he took it out and he was looking at it, and the woman at the house saw him looking at it, and she says, "Are you interested?" He said, "Yeah, I play the fiddle, you know. Do you want to buy it?" She said, and he said, "I don't think I'll be able to afford this one now." And she says, "Look, my husband used to play it, and he's since died, and we just want rid of it." So he bought it at a very reduced rate and sold it at an enormous profit later on in London.
That's amazing. He sold it at auction in London.
He sold it in Sotheby's, yeah.
That's amazing. Yeah, yeah. You know, the thing about the cobblestone is musicians love playing at the cobblestone because I think they feel that you really love music and that they're respected. And I think that's true. And
I'd be embarrassed now.
But you're not doing it for show or anything, you know. Yeah. But then the problem then is because musicians like nice, quiet places to play, but you have to run the pub, so you want it busy. Yeah. And, you know, so how do you balance that? How do you make it work for the two groups?
Yeah, well, I tell everybody, like, we were there for 25 years and we were kind of, you know, trying to make ends meet all the time. And then suddenly, you know, we became an overnight success. And it's all people are coming from all over now to listen to music and play as well. We get an awful lot of visiting musicians from overseas, you know. The amount of people that come from Canada and America and England and indeed continental Europe, it's unreal, you know. They come in and they want to know. And if they're capable musicians and they have an instrument, well, we usually have a fiddle there or a flute or, you know, accordion or something, sometimes, you know. So it's there anyway for them.
And you know, like, you have that many sessions there. I'm sure somebody has or will at some point write a thesis on the session. Because it's very delicate, isn't it? I mean, like, it's not enough to just put people in a room. It doesn't just happen. Like, you need good musicians, you need a good venue, you need good listeners.
Yes.
So I'm sure you've seen all types of sessions in your years.
Yeah.
How do you know when it's going to, like, what's the recipe to make it work?
Well, I formed the opinion a long time ago that there isn't a week goes by that I'm not amazed by some musician that comes in, you know. And you think you've heard them all. And I would have thought I knew, like, when I was younger, And before I ever got home, I kind of knew all the musicians by name or by reputation or personally. But when my children got involved in music, then they started bringing in other musicians that, you know, just blew me away, you know. All these young musicians, where did they come out of, you know? And how come they're so good, you know? And it's just amazing, you know. I've been introduced to a generation of musicians I didn't even know existed, you know. And it's kind of heartwarming, you know. Just lovely, you know. I can't get over it, you know. And they are good.
Some fantastic musicians and singers have been regulars in the Cobblestone over the years. People like Catherine McAvoy, Del McWeeny, Michelle O'Brien, Kevin Rosum, Jesse Smith. It's a long list, but we're going to listen to a song now from Mick O'Grady. Because Mick is one of the big characters from the Cobblestone. He's there a long time. Yeah. Tell me a little bit about Mick and the song.
Mick is he's one of these very refreshing figures like that. He's a guy that started off with an academic education and went to America to do a master's, and then worked his way down to working on building sites and labouring. And he wrote plays. He's a painter. He's a musician. He's a great man for trying something new all the time, you know. But he's a refreshing piece of encounter, if you want, for the want of a better word. I just love listening to him. I think he set up a partnership there with Jesse Smith playing two fiddles, you know, for a while, and it was lovely. And then Jesse moved up to Donegal, to Aranmore Island, where he's doing great things as well. But Jesse and Mick, they raised each other's music for whatever reason, you know, and it was just a pleasure. You go in there just to listen to it, even if you weren't walking, you know, you just go in to listen. They'd always have something good going. And then they brought in other musicians to enhance it, I suppose. Other musicians who come in just to listen to the pair of them, you know.
And this is Mick singing, because he plays the fiddle, but this is him singing now.
Yeah, yeah.
Does he sing a lot?
He used to sing quite a lot, and he does still sing, and he sings a lot more witty songs now, but like he has sang some great songs in his day, you know. Really good.
Let's have a listen to him.
And then we were ordered to cross o'er the foam, for soldiers were needed for to fight for their home. I kissed my love Nell, she appeared like a queen, and softly she whispered, "Remember Wood Green, remember Wood Green, oh remember Wood Green." And softly she whispered, "Remember Wood Green."
Mick O'Grady there singing Bonnie Wood Green from his own CD, but it actually has a picture of the Cobblestone on the cover. It's called The Long Distance Kid. Another regular who is often in the Cobblestone pub, sometimes as a listener and sometimes as a singer, is the actor Michael Collins. And you've chosen a song from the first Cobblestone Session CD sung by Johnny Collins. Johnny. Tell me a bit about this.
Well, Johnny was... He was a great raconteur for starters, you know, and he was a man who did so much for his family. Like they used to live around Eden, Derry, and Offaly, and he brought them to Dublin, and like to get them into something better, get them in like most family people, you know. Michael ended up as an actor, and he's a great performer now, and Michael would be kind of top of his game as actors go, but Johnny was more into composition and singing, you know. And he has sang here, or the song we're going to talk about is "The Flower of Sweet Strabane," which is lovely, you know. But Johnny was one of these great characters who he always had a great story, and he would sing a song when asked, and he had an amazing amount of songs, and he wrote a lot himself, you know. But what a lovely man.
And there's a bit of poetic license in this version of the song.
Ah, there is, but I mean, let them find that out themselves. Let them figure it out.
Her cheeks, they are a rosy red, her hair of a lovely brown, and o'er her lily white shoulder the wrinkles they hang down.
She's one of the finest creatures and the whole Melishian clan. My heart is captivated by the flower's sweet Strabane.
Johnny Collins there singing The Flower of Sweet Strabane from the Cobblestone Sessions CD. Tom Mulligan, as well as the front bar where the sessions take place, you also have the venue at the back where you've lots of concerts and events. Where did that idea come from?
Well, it was built on, I suppose, over 30 years ago, and it was kind of a yard that was behind the pub, and it was just extending it. So what we do there now, on a Monday we teach dancing of various different types. Tuesday, the first Tuesday of every month, there's the Pipers Club have a concert there. Wednesday we have a class of music there which we call the balaclavas.
Yeah, tell me about the balaclavas.
The balaclavas. Well, it's I used to have people come in to me and they'd be saying, oh, I'd love to be up there playing music, and I'd say to them, well, why don't you? Oh, I'm not good enough. So eventually, after all this prompting, we decided we would start a class for adults who missed out on the music education when they were younger. And then when we had it all, the teacher sorted out and the tune sorted out, went back to them all and I said, come on, we're going to start this class. Will you come in? Oh, no, I'd be too shy. I said, you can't be talking. I wouldn't go in there. And I said, look, if you're going to be that shy, we'll give you a balaclava and nobody will know who's there. So it's not as subversive as it sounds. So it's going now 15 years. And Jackie Martin, who is a piper, a concertina player and a fantastic fiddle player, she is the one that's the cornerstone of it. And my own daughter, Shiva, who's a fiddle player as well, she and a singer, she is... She's helping Jackie with it, and
you've gone on tour with them and everything.
Oh yeah, we had a similar group in Dundalk for a long time, and there's one now in County Leitrim in Drumcairn. There's a Lorraine Sweeney runs it in, and they call it the Leitrim Balaclavas. Well, the fella started one down in Ballybunion, Tom, and he's out in the missions in Africa, so it's kind of gone into abeyance for a while till he comes back, you know. So it's grand, you know.
But Tom, your interest in music didn't come from nowhere, of course. Yeah. There's music in your family going way back.
True.
So tell me a bit about that and your father and everything.
Well, my father was from Barnacoola in County Leitrim, which is on the Longford-Leitrim border, and he was a fiddle player. And before that, his father was a musician and his grandfather. So he had a brother, Colm, who was John, who went to America, and he was a fiddle maker. And the two of them had great... When they were kids, they used to make fiddles out of tea chests, and you know, to be all the time experimenting. But they went their separate ways. But my father came to Dublin and came across Seamus Ennis, and he first heard the pipes being played by Leo Rousseman in Mull in County Leitrim and fell in love with them. Came to Dublin, used to go to this house in Peters Road in Phibsborough, which was owned by this lad Mulcrone from Longford, who made Illan pipes. And eventually he knocked on the door, and he went in and he ordered a set of C sharp pipes, and Seamus Ennis was there to test the pipes for Mulcrone, and that's how they met, and they became friends. They used to go out together. They were free and single at the time, the two of them, you know. They became great friends. And he took up the pipes, although he was a fiddle player. Tommy Reckon himself would... Tommy Reckon teach him the pipes. He had great friendship with Tommy. And they eventually went into the Dublin Fish, and they won it, a duet, one year, and had a photograph taken up on the top of the Mansion House. And... But it appeared in the Irish press the next day. But between the time they won it and it appeared in the Irish press, they were disqualified because somebody objected to the fact that they played a Scottish march instead of an Irish march. So he had a great time for competitions after that. Oh.
Tommy Reck and Seamus Ennis and everyone. Yeah. Was it a house full of music then?
I went in one day coming home from school, and I threw me bag in there, and there was music coming from the sitting room and the you know, curiosity got the better of me, and I went in, and there was my father was playing the fiddle, Tommy Rick was playing the pipes, and Tommy Potts was vamping on another fiddle, you know. I said, what's going on? Just in the middle of the day, you know. Lovely stuff going on the whole time. We used to remember one time we had Peter Horden and Fred Finn like up at the house. It was a night of music and just amazing people. Like, we came out of the Piper's Club in Thomas Street one time and we met Willie Clancy. He didn't know where to stay, so he brought him up, and I can't remember who the other fellow was. They stayed the night, you know. But Ennis was an eternal visitor to the house too, and Sean O'Donoghue, the singer, and just lovely stuff, you know.
What do you remember about Seamus Ennis? What was he like?
Seamus was a lovely man, you know. He was always a great man. Like, he told stories, and we would be there coming in from school and he'd tell us a story, or he'd, you know, play a tune, or he'd just conversation, you know. Lovely. He taught Neely, my brother Neely, a lot on the pipes, you know. And you couldn't beat that. Neely's, you know, like his biggest hero today, you know. Just loved him.
Well, you mentioned Neely, and who is, of course, a great piper, and we're going to listen to a track now. This is from a CD called On Tubber Glay. So you might tell me first where the title On Tubber Glay comes from, and then maybe tell us who's on this track.
Yeah, well, the Slattery's of Capel Street was the hub of Irish music at the time, and they used to have the tradition club. But Seamus Ennis was coming towards the autumn of his career, you know, so his friends gathered around and they said they would form this little club, which they called On Tubber Glay, and it was in the basement of Slattery's of Capel Street, and it used to be on a Friday night, and like, they would bring in guests and they would play, and whatever money was taken was divided out, and Seamus would get maybe the main, Seamus would be the main man there most nights, but there was nights he didn't turn up anyway. But, you know, it was a lovely kind of an idea, and it lasted for a while now. It wasn't the most successful club. It was in the basement, and it wouldn't be the most comfortable place in the world, you know.
And what are we going to hear now off On Tubber Glay?
I think Alfie, my brother Alfie, wanted to learn a tune, or learn a couple of tunes. And he recorded these things in our house in Cabra Park so he could learn them. And they're a lovely, lovely set of tunes that Neely plays with my father. But it happened 2 years before he died. So he didn't set out to record them for any commercial reason. But this thing is lovely anyway.
Great music there from Neely Mulligan and Tom Mulligan, as recorded by Alfie Mulligan in the 80s at home, and introduced here by Tom Mulligan
Junior.
So Tom, you had music on your father's side growing up, but you also married into music then as well. Tell me about that.
Well, I was living for a while around Dundalk and in a village called Blackrock, and I met Michael Quinn, who was a singer. I would have known him first, and then he had a daughter, Pauline, whom I met, and we took a fancy to each other and ended up married anyway. And we've three children, Tomás and Shiva and Maeve. But Michael always impressed me as he would tell a story and he would sing a song. And he used to hang around with a fellow called John Campbell, who was also from Mullabon in South Armagh. And the two of them would make up stories and they'd perform them like to hilarity, really. You know, it was fantastic stuff. But Michael made an LP years and years ago, and his father corrected him while he was singing during the recording of it, and then they got the father to make an LP. And then years later, Michael made a CD, which you have there in front of you, The Man That Shot the Dog. He wrote a great song and like a humorous thing. And then later on he brought out a double CD in stories. But he was a kind of an icon of the singing fraternity and the storytelling fraternity all over Ireland. No matter where you went with him, you know, you were there with him for the regardless. You just couldn't walk up a street, you know. You'd be stopped. And
you've chosen one for us. Which one are we going to hear?
He didn't write this one himself. It's the Dailin Men from Cross McGlen. And the reason I like it is my own son Tomás sings it as well and does a lovely job on it. And then my two daughters, Shiva and Maeve, they are also singing some of his songs. So he's had a magnificent influence on his grandchildren and certainly on his own children, but more so the grandchildren love them, you know, to such an extent. They're all learning his songs now and singing them well.
Well, I only had the second cup when up the ructions rose, and I knew that I was put upon while I slaughtered friends and foes. The police did surround me, and they hauled me up the next day. When me case was read, I duly pled the butt whiskey in me tea.
Tom, you yourself play the flute, but it wasn't something you did as a kid. You came to it much later. How come?
Well, it was my own children. I have at home. Tomás is probably the eldest of them, and he objected to being sent off to play music when I didn't play music. And whilst he was objecting, I had two girls, Shiva, who played the fiddle, and Maeve, who played the concertina. They just loved it, you know. So I had to go and start learning. And I went out to maybe Kiltory, Clontarf, before they became, it was Coltis and Clontarf at the time, but after the breakaway. But I started to learn the flute. And I since then, I'm kind of glad he made me do it, you know, because I've enjoyed it, you know.
He went back to Ballyfermot and everything.
I did. I went to, Paul McGrattan runs an amazing course up there in Ballyfermot, the Kiltore course, you know. And I thought it was okay up until I went there, and then I found out like where my failings lay. And we formed a kind of a band at one stage and went off on a tour of Latvia, and the rest is history, you know. But it was lovely. Paul McGrattan just runs a fantastic thing. He's still going strong there. They have a great focus, and they've gone into instrument making now, you know.
What was it like going back? Because I presume a lot of the students there would be out of school, or, you know, they'd be...
No, they were all adults. Like, I had done it before. I had a similar row with my young fella, Tomás. Back in 2006, he was the cause of me going to UCD and doing a degree. And I did a degree in history and folklore. And it turns out, like, the people I was dealing with in UCD were Rinoch Eogan, Barbara Neilin, Ronan Galvin. Like, in my class was Liam O'Connor, you know. I mean, you couldn't have been better, you know. It was just lovely, lovely. And that put me on the learning curve, you know.
Another interesting project you've been involved with is the exchange trips between Irish and Estonian musicians.
Yes.
Because we spoke to some of those Estonian musicians on the programme here on the Rolling Wave a couple of months ago, I think. Yeah. But you worked as tour manager for some of those
trips.
Well,
I went out as tour manager last year with... there was Brendan Begley, there was Sean Garvey, two Kerrymen, two great singers. We went with Neely Mulligan and his son Fiacra, a piper and a fiddle player. Sean Gilrain, a flute player from Leitrim, who would be involved in the John McKenna Society. And Sean O'Brien, who would be a son of Paddy Bon O'Brien, who taught music initially to our family. And myself, and like at one stage it played to 50,000 people in Tallinn, you know, and the other end of the thing was you would be playing to 30 people or something, you know. But I was telling you a story about playing in Estonia before, which was nothing to do with this trip, but we went to some place where there was maybe 30 of an audience, and we got up and we played. We were the visitors, we were the first ones there, and the audience clapped. And then we got off the stage, and the 30 of them got up, and we were the audience. It was different.
One of the original, you mentioned Sean Garvey, and he was on that original tour, the
to
first
Estonia,
tour, yeah, to Estonia.
1988.
Yeah, and you've chosen a song of his. Tell me about this song.
The Ballad of Sammy's Bar. It's a It's a tawny song that Sean used to, you know, he'd send the shivers up your spine singing it. You know, it's about, it's based, or it's set in Malta, and it's just a beautiful rendition of it. I think he was the first one I ever heard singing it, and it stuck with me, his version of it. It's the one that keeps coming back to me all the time, you know.
Oh, Tateen to Faya Bay, all away the days old. He's a better man by far, hey, the last boat leaving, 'cause he's got a Yankee car. Call away the days old. I walked out from Sammy's.
Sean Garvey there singing the ballad of Sammy's Bar from his CD, The Bonny Bunch of Roses. The Cobblestone has provided a musical home in Dublin for many musicians over the years, and it would be impossible to play tunes from all of them, but you were talking about Jesse Smith earlier, and yeah. Jesse spent some time up in the John McKenna House. I think you had a hand in that in some way.
We went to Michael Coleman commemoration down in Gortsheen at the behest of Seamus Tansey at the time, and on the way down I was telling Jesse that we travelled together in the same car, that this house of John McKenna's was available to a visiting American musician, and he wasn't over keen on the first idea. And then he came back to me a week or two later, and he went down to have a look at it, and a deal was done. He was there for nearly a year and a half, and he taught a lot of local kids music, and he developed his friendship with people around there, one of whom was Packy McPartland, who since died, a great man. And he was a great influence down there on the younger generation of musicians that are now coming up, and they're doing great things now, you know.
Well, you chose a track when we were talking about Jesse Smith's music. You chose a track from a CD called Music from a Lost Continent, which is Sean Gavin, Jesse Smith and John Blake. And none of those three musicians were born here.
But their music is colossal, you know. I mean, it's Anderson's and I can't remember.
The Mountain Road,
yeah. I think whilst it's the first track, It's just a phenomenal track, you know. They play great. Sean Gavin's an amazing flute player, and so was John Blake, but he's not playing the flute on this one. So it's Jesse and Sean and John, you know, just great.
Jesse Smith, Sean Gavin and John Blake there with Andersons and the Mountain Road, and that was from a CD called Music from a Lost Continent, as chosen by Tom Mulligan from the Cobblestone here in Dublin, who's with us tonight on The Rolling Wave. Tom, we were talking about your brother Neely there, but there's a whole new generation of Mulligans out there playing music, isn't there? You must be very proud of that.
Well, it warms the heart to see it happening, you know. I mean, Neely has four children, and each one of them are so good at music. And then you go on to Alfie. Alfie has three children that are phenomenal musicians, and they're based in Dundalk. And then my own, I have Tomás, who's a singer, and I have Shiva, who plays the fiddle, and Maeve, who plays the concertina. And they sing as well, the two girls. So there's a great kind of drive there, you know, with them. They love it. They're all school teachers, and one of the reasons they're school teachers is to have the summer off so they can go off. And then Colm has three children, and they all play as well, like, you know.
It's a dynasty, Tom.
A legacy.
You've chosen a track here from the CD that Sheila Denver made a while ago called Cathraim, music and songs from the plays of Patrick Pearse. And yeah. I think your daughter Shiva is on one of these tracks.
She is indeed. And it was a great project they did in college as well. It's great to see Patrick Pearse remembered so well, like, you know, and there would be a great connection now with the family, you know, because of that, you know, I would think. You know.
Ding Dang Dedro and Hi Diddle Dum there from Cathraim, the CD of Ceol agus Óráin Ó Chrámaí an Phiarsaigh, our music and song from the plays of Patrick Pearse, which was put together by Sheila Denver a couple of years ago. Tom Mulligan, the cobblestone, you were saying, has been a fixture now in Smithfield for over 30 years.
Yeah.
Are you there for the long haul? Or you don't foresee any changes?
Not at the moment, anyway. Not at the moment. It's just, it's kind of a victim of its own success. It's kind of, it's there, and it's a great place to go to. Like, if I had nothing to do with it, I'd go there, you know. I just think it's great. The people that frequent the place are just lovely. The majority of them are all, they're all interested. They're coming there because there's no television, there's no jukebox. They're there to listen to music, and conversation is the real comfort zone there. Everyone talks to everybody, you know. You don't need to be introduced to people just to talk to them. They just start talking anyway, you know. So, and the music is a great asset there, you know.
Well, congratulations to you on years and years of good music, and thanks a million for being with us on The Rolling Wave and for choosing all this music for us. There, you have about 10 CDs in front of you there that we didn't even get near, that's for programme two, Tom. Fad Síl agat agus ag an cobblestone, and I hope you continue to go from strength to strength. We're going to finish with another tune from this new CD, the Thursday Sessions at the Cobblestone, and it's a group ensemble track, and Tom Mulligan himself is playing here as well on the flute. He's described as a creator of friendships, which is very true. So this is the Ashplant and the Galtee Rangers. I hope you enjoyed the programme. Thanks a million for listening. Good day on Tam Chain and Tachan Chahugan. Ihoa. Thank you for listening to the Rolling Wave podcast. For rights reasons, the music here is shorter than in the original broadcasts. So if you want to hear the full versions, just visit rte.ie/radio1. This programme was first broadcast on the 9th of June 2019. Till the next time, Gur Míle Maith agus Slán.